This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at how to decode the mystery of recycling different kinds of plastic. We'll also get a forecast for the next couple of days from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Carle Foundation hospital officials had big plans but few specifics last night for Urbana City Council members in a presentation of their expansion proposal. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Hospital officials say it's too early for building plans or designs, but their general concept includes a new 60-bed specialty center, smaller medical buildings, a parking deck, and smaller parking lots. Carle Hospital would demolish 40 rental homes it owns to make way for the expansion and take over parts of three city streets. Hospital officials hope to get Urbana City Council approval of zoning changes and street closures by July. A bit quick for Alderman Dennis Roberts.
You'd have to show us some pretty specific information before we could start granting closures of streets, just because we don't have any idea really of how this integrates with the needs of the city or the needs of the citizens living north and south of it.
I'll try to do a better job representing what those are.
That second voice belonged to Carle Foundation Vice President Andrew Manser. The hospital has held two meetings with neighbors and plans a third, probably in May, when it will also apply to the city for zoning changes and the vacating of streets. Despite all this activity, Manser says actual construction would be incremental and, quote, multiple years away. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Congressman Ray LaHood says a recent trip to Sudan confirmed his belief that the U.S. is right to fund humanitarian efforts there. The Illinois Republican was part of a delegation to the African nation. Amanda Vinicky has more.
LaHood says he traveled to a camp where thousands of displaced Sudanese are living because violence forced them to leave their villages. The refugees live in tents, he says, in the middle of the desert, with conditions including
100-degree temperatures, 30-mile-an-hour wind, sandstorms.
LaHood admits some believe the government of Sudan is in cahoots with the tribe causing the violence, and the UN and some non-governmental organizations have taken heat for supposed mismanagement. But LaHood says his taxpayer-funded trip convinced him that the U.S. is right to put money towards relief efforts.
I think we came away with the idea that the government is doing what it can to continue to try and work on these peace agreements that have been put together, but that the UN is doing a pretty good job.
The U.S. has given $2 billion in the past 2 years to Sudan. LaHood says that monetary support should continue as needed. Meanwhile, the Illinois General Assembly is considering a measure which would require the state's pensions divest from companies with interests in Sudan until violence ceases. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The wife of Illinois Senate President Emil Jones got a $70,000 raise when she was promoted to a new state job. Lori Rickman Jones became mental health program director for the Department of Human Services 2 years ago. She married the Senate president, one of the state's most powerful politicians, several months later. The Blagojevich administration created a special salary class to increase Jones' salary from $116,000 a year to $186,000, above what was previously allowed by law. DHS argues that Jones deserves the same salary as her predecessor, but he's a psychiatrist. Jones is a clinical psychologist. Jones didn't return a message left at her home. A spokeswoman for Emil Jones says the senator was not involved. Migrant workers who pick tomatoes in Florida learned yesterday that their efforts for higher wages have paid off with one fast food chain. Two of the workers are visiting the University of Illinois campus on their way to Chicago. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Workers with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers say the agreement with McDonald's was struck as they were about to launch a cross-country bus tour to protest at its corporate headquarters. Now they plan a victory march in the Chicago area this weekend. The advocacy group has now negotiated for an additional penny per pound of tomatoes picked through two restaurant chains, the other being Taco Bell. Cruz Aluzio, with translation from colleague Luis Gomez, says the next targets include Burger King and the Walmart Corporation.
The first and the major thing first is creating the change within the whole industry to begin with. And that's by, you know, going against these corporations. But that's the first step to finally get the whole industry on the same page. And then from there, we'll move on.
The coalition has long fought not only for better wages, but also benefits and better working conditions. The McDonald's agreement calls for a workplace code of conduct. The Immokalee workers presently earn about 40 cents for every bucket they fill with tomatoes. That's about $7,500 a year. The extra penny would nearly double their pay. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The recent stretch of sub-freezing temperatures in Illinois led Curtis Orchards near Champaign to use heaters and wood fires to keep their budding apple trees from freezing this past few days. Randy Graham, one of the owners of Curtis Orchards, says the cold weather caused some damage, but not to a serious degree.
Well, it's impossible to tell for sure until we get past bloom and start to see the fruits actually growing. But I think for most varieties, we have enough live blossoms for a full crop.
Graham says apple buds start dying off when the temperature falls to 28 degrees. He said they fell below that mark Thursday and Friday night, according to readings at nearby Willard Airport. But Graham says they kept the temperature at Curtis about 4 to 6 degrees warmer by placing dozens of natural gas heaters around the trees, plus wood fires using their own apple wood. Curtis Orchard last endured a damaging cold snap in 2005, but that was in May. Graham says freezing temperatures in early April would normally not be serious, except that the warm spell back in March caused apple buds to develop early. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Packaging experts say more and more of what we buy at the store comes wrapped in plastic. But it's not always clear what you can do with that empty plastic container once you're finished with it. Rebecca Williams of the Environment Report visits some experts to sort out the confusion about recycling plastic.
The next time you have a plastic bottle in your hand, check out the bottom. You'll probably find a little number with a recycle symbol around it. You might think, great, this is recyclable. But it turns out those handy little symbols aren't meant for us consumers at all.
It's created nothing but trouble through history because people see that and they think it means that the container is recyclable.
Patty Moore is president of Moore Recycling Associates. It's a consulting firm that focuses on plastics recycling. She says those little numbers were put in place so the recycling industry could know what kind of plastic the bottles were made out of. It doesn't mean that the plastic is actually recyclable.
They put the recycling symbol on there because it was to distinguish it from other symbols that might be on the bottle. And they didn't even say that the kind of plastic it was necessarily recyclable. It was just a code so recyclers could identify the resin.
So even if you see that recycle symbol, it doesn't mean the container can go in the recycling bin. Moore says recycling plastic packaging is tricky. That's because all plastics are not created equal. They're made of different resins. They often melt at different temperatures, so they have to be recycled separately, if they're recyclable at all. Patty Moore says in the U.S., we're doing a pretty decent job of recycling plastic bottles. She says most cities are happy to take your soda bottles, milk jugs, and detergent containers. Usually that means any bottle that has a narrow neck and a little one or two on the bottom. But then it gets really complicated. There are those numbers 3 through 7, and sometimes you'll see something with a number 1 on it, but it's not a bottle with a narrow neck. Or maybe there's no number at all. So I packed a bunch of those confusing containers into one giant plastic bag and went to see Melinda Erling. She runs a nonprofit recycling center near my house. First up, a cookie container with a number 1 on it and a recycle symbol, just like you see on soda bottles. I've tried to recycle it in the past.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this. This is one of those plastic containers you get at the grocery store. Probably had a cake in it, looks like, or chocolate chip cookies. It's not recyclable like the soda bottles.
Erling says my cookie container has slightly different chemical properties from soda bottles. So even though the container looks like it should be perfectly recyclable, it's not at all.
So we've got one of these blue, looks like a, you know, like a Dixie cup or a blue plastic plate that you'd have at a picnic, and it's the same kind of thing. This actually doesn't even have a symbol on it. It might be polystyrene or something like that, but again, that's something that's not recyclable.
So landfill.
Yeah, exactly, landfill.
Everybody's favorite
bubble wrap. I'm sure everyone's going to be jealous. That's always fun. We take this, but I think you really a better use for this. We always like to tell people if you can reuse it, it's a much better use than recycling because it's less resource intensive, and it's not at the end of its useful life.
So you can keep the bubble wrap and use it again. It turns out all these plastic bags I brought are recyclable, but you usually can't put them in a curbside bin for pickup. You have to bring them to a drop-off center or back to the store. That's if you can find where you're supposed to put them.
You know, a lot of the grocery stores used to accept them in-house, and I think there was a trend away from that because it was more of a contamination problem than anything else. That people would see an open receptacle at the grocery store and they might put other types of bags or trash or a coffee cup or something. And so I know that at grocery stores I go to, there's a collection point, but they just don't advertise it the way they used to.
Erling says the bottom line with all these containers is whether they can be recycled into something new. For example, those grocery bags might be mixed with wood pulp and made into plastic lumber.
You know, what's out there? Is somebody making something out of this product into something new and can sell it? And that really drives demand and whether we can collect it and then turn around and recycle it.
Still, it's so confusing. You might feel like throwing the whole pile of stuff away. But Melinda Erling says there are a few things you can do instead. She says you can start by badgering your local officials to look for new markets for plastic containers. Erling says you can also vote with your dollars and avoid buying packaging that's not easily recyclable. Or try to buy packaging with some recycled content to help create demand for it. For The Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Even though we don't have freezing weather in our forecast the next few days, it will still be cooler than normal, and we do have the threat of rain as well. For today in Illinois, becoming cloudy with rain spreading into western and central sections this afternoon. Still partly to mostly sunny in Indiana. And temperatures today for highs ranging from 44 in northern Illinois to 58 in the south. For tonight in Illinois and in western Indiana, cloudy with areas of rain. Elsewhere in Indiana, clouding up with rain arriving overnight. Maybe mixed with snow in far northern locations, and lows tonight ranging from 33 in far northern Illinois to 45 in the south. For tomorrow, in the far northern sections of the two states, cloudy with some rain and snow, elsewhere cloudy with some rain, and highs from 37 in northwest Illinois to around 60 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.